Country in the Kitchen, and Tessa's Tune of the Week. Essential steps in the evolution of audio entertainment, now live on Siren Radio.
Country in the Kitchen and Tessa, Country in the Kitchen and her Tune of the Week.
Well, January continues, and so does the Midweek Drive in its new, sparklingly wonderful, insightful way of communications. That is, of course, the wonderment of Zoom. And we've just actually heard the final track of the week from Tessa Snart before she moves into all sorts of other strange and wondrous things. So, Tessa, welcome back to the program. Your final track of the week, you've put it to one side now and have decided to focus totally on Country in the Kitchen.
Well, as well as a job as well. But yeah, it is very bittersweet, the last track of the week. But of course, it got us through the first lockdown 2020.
What about lockdown 4, 5, and 6 that we're faced with?
I know. But, you know, we've all evolved and adapted now. And I think we're getting to grips with all the lockdowns. So we're a little bit more equipped now. But yeah, I've got a brilliant track, last track. Obviously for the track of the week segment, and it's by Harley Moon Kemp and it's called Lucky. And of course, you know, it's all about being thankful for kind of all the little things and all the positives that came out of 2020, that we should think of, you know, as it was a very difficult year. But it's also a party anthem, so it's really positive, really upbeat. I really like this one. And she actually, Harley, recorded a live VR performance for this particular track, which was broadcast on New Year's Day. And that was for the London New Year's Day parade event. And basically anybody with a phone, laptop, tablet could actually like turn all of those side to side and actually see her, the cameramen. It was kind of like you were at the event. So it was a virtual experience. And I guess that's how we are all adapting now, and artists and musicians. That's kind of the new going to a concert, a gig. No, it's not the same as being there, is it? But it's the best next thing at the moment. And that's what we're all getting used to. So I hope that you enjoyed this track. And yeah, I think it's a really good one. And it's out now if you want to add it to your playlist.
I must be L-U-C-K, why to have you here by my side? Don't know what I did to deserve it, babe. I must be lucky, yeah, yeah. Just got another parking fine. Cars on the gas, light warning sign. I ain't been paid in weeks, but I'm doing. Don't know.
we are, Harley Moon Kemp, shall we say. I was going to say Harley Moon Quinn there. That would be a completely different thing and a completely different franchise. But as we haven't got Robin Pierce with us, astoundingly, he doesn't seem to be around for this official review of Last Track of the Week. I don't know what's happened to him. I've sent him lots of invites from that point of view. Never mind. Let's find out from our music correspondent in Birmingham, of course, what she made of Harley Moon Quinn and Lucky. Katie, is it your sort of music, or is it a case of no, it didn't have any Liam Gallagher in, it didn't have any Noel Gallagher in, it was frankly sort of just left for there? What did you make of it?
I really liked it. I loved how positive it is, and I think it's a great way to start the year, to be honest.
Good news.
There we have it, short and sweet.
Yeah.
And if we were to ask you to give it a mark out of 10, what would you go for, Katie?
Probably 8.5.
That's good.
Very critical. Very critical from that point of view. So let's talk about sort of the heading into 2021. Katie, what are your hopes and thoughts for the year? Is it a case of more lockdowns, please, or is it a case of I just want to see Birmingham sort of take its role as being leader of the planet?
Hopefully, I'm going to be able to get a job sometime soon, and just. What lockdown has taught me is to take things day by day. Because I've got a habit of constantly looking into the future all the time and planning ahead all the time. And obviously with this, you can't do that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's clearly something which is challenging at the best of times in terms of how we're sort of working through the process. Tessa, of course, you've gone through that whole track of being furloughed, coming out of furlough, creating more online material. Now, of course, you're in work once again. I mean, what advice would you give, Katie? Is it a case of don't give up or end it now?
No, don't end it now. Don't give up, I would say. I mean, look, it's taken me from March 2020 to, you know, December to get another job. But, you know, it's been really, really difficult. But I think, you know, it's January, it's a new year. A lot of businesses are working remotely now. They're making room for that. I mean, the job that I start in a few days' time, that's all remote. They were in an office, but they actually find that the balance of life works better working from home. A lot of their employees have children. It just gives them that little bit more time. So I would keep looking. And also, like for me, I was thinking I've got to change my career path. So I was looking, as Alex knows, looking at going into teaching. And it's still something that I would go on to do. It's not something that I don't want to do in life. But as you know, I love kind of the audio world, podcast, radio. And I thought, I'd been to a few interviews for cover supervising and teaching roles, and I was going to do my teacher training, and I thought I'm going to have one more look, and I'm going to see what's on offer. And I stumbled across this podcast role. Now, it's not in music, it's not entertainment, but businesses are now using podcasts as a marketing tool. So there's always options. I would always say keep looking and don't give up. Even if you find a job, you go for it, and you still want to look for that particular role that you'd rather have, you can still apply for that. You can swap and change all the time. I'm learning that people do this a lot. So nothing's always set in stone. So just keep an open mind. That's what I would say. And don't give up, however you feel.
I know. It is really tough. Like, sometimes you do feel like giving up. But like you say, you just got to keep going, haven't you?
You have. And I find that I know, obviously, with a job, you've got to look for a job. But sometimes I think you can look into something too much, and that's when it doesn't kind of find you. Sometimes you've got to take a step back, and then sometimes it will find you. I know that's as corny as that sounds, but sometimes we can overthink things, and I think that's when we get a little bit stuck and we get stuck in a rut. So yeah, never ever give up. But you've just, as you say rightly, take each day as it comes, because you know it's so uncertain. We don't know what 2021 is going to bring. But a lot of things are being done remotely. So I do think as the months go on, there'll be more jobs on offer remotely.
And that was the official Tessa Snart optimism review for the upcoming year, Katie. Obviously, you'll bear with that. You can play it back again as often as you wish, and then it'll help
you. We need more optimism.
Oh, well, I had my down days, believe me, but you've got to stay positive, you have. You've got to keep going. And we're all in the same boat. That's what keeps me sane. We're all in the same boat here.
Yes, but some of us obviously sort of have more sort of success than others in various ways, talking about the boat things. But
yeah, but it all comes, you know, everybody's on a different life path, and some things happen for some people, you know, before others, but it's okay. We'll get there.
Exactly. Profound stuff. Now, let's return to the tune of the week, because we wrapped up, obviously, with the daughter of Shirley and Martin Kemp, of course, from Spandau Ballet, with Harley Moon Kemp wrapping up with Lucky there. What about all those artists who have been diligently sending you their stuff and they've been saying, we want to be on Tessa's Tune of the Week? Is it a case of now you're just going to turn around and say, well, tough, it's over. You should have supported me financially when I was running it. I've given up on you now. I'm off to the world of business.
No, not at all. I mean, of course, I am going to try and continue Country in the Kitchen, the podcast. It won't be as often, especially not, you know, in the beginning stages of starting a new job, but I'll still be featuring interviews and music on that. And Alex, I can send you tracks if you need any. I've always got people sending me them. So if you need tracks, I'll just send them to you instead.
Well, Katie's always keen to focus on things, so we might look at some way of shape of them. We tend to always have that rejoinder that if we're going to feature somebody, we like to do an interview with them as well, so we need to obviously juggle that around. Anyway, the fact of the matter is, if you are a struggling musician, and we know there are lots of you out there, we are not giving up completely on this side of things, because that would be just wrong. Moving back to yourself, Katie, any questions you'd like to put to Tessa about life, the universe, or anything else at this stage, as we are in the early days of 2021, the early days of lockdown, of course. Number three.
Yeah, I'm interested to know, like, more about your new job, if you can say what it is.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So I will be a podcast and communications executive, but basically what that is the company I'm working for specialise in marketing, basically for mortgages and finance. So their clients know everything there is to do about that subject, mortgages, which is actually quite important, but way out of my depth, but very, very interesting, I'm learning. So I will be interviewing all the company's clients, which those interviews will feature on the clients' websites as a marketing tool, but it just means that their customers can get kind of like, well, can hear their voice, can hear what they're all about, what they have to offer, a little bit about, you know, the actual clients themselves. And I think it's just a really, really nice way of people getting to know each other. And I actually think it's really exciting that businesses are using podcasts as a tool. So, you know, obviously we think of a podcast really now, I guess, as you know, music and entertainment, but it's not. I mean, it's stemming out into the world of all sorts, which is really exciting. But there's other tasks involved within that role. So once I've kind of interviewed the clients, I'll then have to edit. And what's different about this compared to the music podcasts I've been doing is that you've got to remember, a lot of these clients haven't ever done interviews before. Many artists, they do tons and tons of interviews. So a lot of the clients will be nervous or not really sure what to expect. So we have to prep all the questions first, liaise with them, ask them if there's anything else we should include. Then you do the interview, then you edit. Then you also have to kind of transcribe it into an article using SEO tools, which is really fun and something I've always wanted to learn how to do. And then there'll be various other things involved as well. But they've got nearly 40 clients already who want monthly interviews doing. So I'll be very, very busy, and I've got to learn the ropes.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, that's what I'll be doing.
Yeah, that sounds really like involved, and you can do all that from home.
All from home. So obviously I've got my microphone here and the desktop, but the company are sending me equipment as well, because like they say, if I was in the office, I'd be using their equipment anyway, which is obviously really good of them. But yeah, I can do it all from home, and we do Zoomers, we do Skypes to keep in touch, and yeah, it's all virtually done. And they tend to employ specialists within each different role. So they've got their marketing team, their social media team. Very small though, there's not many of us. So it's kind of like, it will be in the end, I guess, my baby to nurture. But yeah. I've got to take over from my manager. And yeah, they're just growing, so they need more people. But yeah.
And if memory serves, if memory serves, Katie, you were sort of a search engine optimizer back in your early days after graduating. Is that the case?
Yes, I did. I used to work for a relatively small company in the Custard Factory in Birmingham, and I did SEO, and I used to help clients get good rankings on Google, but I decided to come out of it and just go into like an admin job.
Wow. See, it's very interesting, isn't it? Because I find that, you know, whether it's podcasts, whether it's marketing, SEO, all that, it doesn't really matter what the subject is. You're doing kind of the same thing. But custard, see, that's interesting. Just for custard. Getting that right. Yeah. Right.
But I think the thing with like what I learned when I was in marketing is that it's the target for it is constantly changing. Like, I think a few years ago, or maybe even last year, it was like video, what was quite popular. And now obviously it's like podcasts are coming up. And I think lockdown and the whole pandemic has made podcasts more popular.
Oh, definitely. Oh.
Now, don't worry, I was just actually sort of shutting myself down, closing myself up, doing all sorts of other bits and pieces there. It's part of the magic of the whole system. So again, heading into the 21st century, we're talking to Claire Bailey, who is the retail champion recently. And she was saying that we've probably gone through more technological progress in the last 10 months than normally would take 10 years. I mean, from what you've been saying, both Tessa and Katie, that seems to be the case, really, in terms of we have been booted quite literally into the future of technology from this point of view.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. In fact, the lady who I'm going to be working quite closely with, she said that when she did her marketing degree, there was no digital marketing, nothing was online. And she's had to learn, and she comes from a fashion background as well. So she's had to learn so much in the space of, you know, many short years to get up to scratch with all the digital marketing that's now available. So it is very interesting. And it does especially help us right now during lockdown. We're able to do so much from home and from a laptop and our phones, so that's it's incredible, really.
Part of the positivity side of things, which is what we're all about here. I have given up with respect to the whole essence of Robin joining us. He's clearly lost in cyberspace. I'm getting calls from Richard Fitzwilliams, who is coming in on a completely different message. It's very bizarre, but it has been quite awesome. Tessa, you produced an absolutely outstanding Midweek Drive calendar that was produced as well with respect to the other thing, which I'm sure I wasn't expecting, but it's even got the official Tessa Snart. Is it a crow that's actually there on the cover, or a raven?
It's a starling. It's Stella the starling. I've named it Stella. Stella.
Of course,
exactly. Who, in so many ways, this was the year that was very much all Stella the Starling's year. We forget, we talk about Captain Tom, but ultimately it's Stella the Starling who probably just kept us going, which is up there, isn't it?
Well, this is just for you, Alex, because of course without you, there would be no track of the week. There would be no music. So this is a thank you to you. And of course, you always used to, I remember when I was at university in Lincoln and I'd be in the Siren Station, Alex would, at the end of the year, give all the drivettes a calendar full of all of the photos that we've taken in the studio throughout the year. So this year I decided to make one for Alex, and it's got all our virtual calls on it from Zoomers.
Oh,
well, there you are.
I think, Katie, you are in here. It's just finding you. But we're all on there, basically. But just as a thank you.
It's astounding, all the things that are actually there. Now, weather-wise, as I look out the window today up in Teesside, it's snowing and continue to snow.
Yes,
what's the case?
Well,
snowing in Birmingham.
Yes.
So what's the case of snow in Tessa? Are you dreaming of a snowy new year?
I am. We have no snow. It's actually sunny and blue skies. It's very cold, but we have sun and blue skies here. But we had a bit of snow before Christmas, one day. We had quite a bit of snow, but yeah, nothing today.
I'd rather have sun.
I can't believe it, actually. It's like a different, yesterday it was, well, you know, recently it's been pouring down, but yeah, it's beautiful out there today. Yeah.
And now, of course, it's just frozen water, which is basically snow. So there we have it. If you're listening to this, as you probably are, on a siren day, on siren radio, on a Wednesday, it'd be completely different. So just ignore the last statement. That's all I have to say. Ignore it completely. So moving on to the next sort of line here. It's multitasking. I can't cope with this whole side of things. Katie, would you like to put those last two questions to Tessa Snart, please?
Yeah, Tessa, have you had a interesting Zoom conversation today?
Well, I certainly have. As I say, it's bittersweet. It's the last one I'll be doing for a while. So yes, and I really need to hear Robin's score on this track as well. Lucky.
Yeah, well, we have tried, Tessa. I mean, I sent him details to his Facebook thing. I sent details to his email address. I even sent Richard Fitzwilliams quite details about the whole thing, and he was very confused, which is why he's been trying to call me, but still, never mind.
Perhaps he's just thought that it's the last one, and he's gone and, you know, hidden. He's hidden away, and you can't
face could it. Well be... You might well have called it absolutely right there. So he was unable to do a review of a midweek drive. He couldn't actually cover on anything else. He was literally so distraught that he decided it could be too spoiler-free. So he just couldn't face giving you a final score. But maybe one day he'll return, much as your good self. So I take it then the second answer will be, it's a possibility you'll be back with us, oh, I don't know, March, April, May, 2019, whatever, 2030, I don't
definitely
know.
In the near future. You can't get rid of me completely, as I think you're quite aware since me leaving university back in whenever, 2018, but I will be back. It just won't be as regular.
This is the key thing. There we are, Katie. So you can rest easy that we will be having more Tessa Snart on the programme as Midweek Drivettes continue to grow and develop in all sorts of ways.
Only if that's you're happy. We've got to make room for more people as well.
that's the way forward, really. So, Katie Grimason, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the programme today?
Yeah, I have.
And I take it you'll be back with us in the near future?
Definitely.
There we are. That's what it's all about. Katie Grimason and Tessa Snart. Don't forget, Country in the Kitchen will also be around. But you've got all of those. I mean, you could always cast. You could listen to all the classics. Listen to all of the sort of events that are actually there. Listen to the way we launched Tessa's Tune of the Week back in sort of... when was it, Tessa? A long time ago.
March, April.
Oh, yes, March, April, etc. The beginning of the year. And then we moved on to, obviously, lockdown and so on and so forth. Let's not look backwards. Let's look forward into the future. Tessa Snart and Katie Grimason, take care and happy 2021.
Happy 2021.
Happy New Year.
Bye.
We continue with the Midweek Drive and this special that started off with Tessa and Katie and, of course, Harley Moon Quinn. Tessa's actually decided to get into her car. So obviously, Tessa, you're taking this leaving us from the end of Tessa's Tune of the Week quite literally, quite seriously. Don't try to get into Europe. They won't allow you with current passport situations.
I'm running far away. No, I'm actually just outside our local pet shop, and we've been trying to get Jackson a new lead and Halty because he's getting too strong for me now out on walks. So I've been practicing that. So I jumped in the car to do the call.
Excellent.
I do have my mask, but I've taken it off in the car.
I should jolly well hope so. So, Richard, we also welcome Richard Fitzwilliams to the production as well.
Oh, hello.
Again, it's been an expanded day, so it's a great start from yourself, Richard. But this is, Richard, when you can actually relax for a little while, because Robin's going to actually do a couple of reviews, one of which is actually Tessa's final tune of the week, which, in the words of the immortal Star Trek television series, probably leads up with that line, "All good things must come to an end." As we clarified, Robin, one of the reasons you couldn't join us for the first part of this programme was because you were too distraught at the fact that there'll be no more Tessa's Tunes of the Week to go with.
Well, absolutely, yes. I was distraught, and I thought, being that I've been on these shows with you now, I would just be the diva and just no-show.
Well, do you know what? But, however... Yeah. You cope with these things. It's fine. I completely understand.
I will be frank and honest and forthright. And it was the lure of the smell of freshly brewing coffee in the kitchen, which is next to the study where I am now, and the arrival of a daughter. And then I lost track of time.
It's okay. Yeah. We all do it.
You see, Robin, Richard Fitzwilliams never actually uses those very weak excuses in terms of why, you know, you're not making a call. Richard has good reasons, like, you know, disconnecting his computer accidentally and other sort of aspects. It's there. Anyway, Katie gave it 8.5.
Coffee is always a good reason. Coffee is always a good reason.
So Robin, what are you providing this song, and why should Richard possibly check out Harley Moon Quinn, daughter, of course, of Shirley and Martin Kemp from Spandau Ballet?
You mean Harley Moon Kemp, don't you? You
Did
keep
I say
calling
Quinn?
Harley Moon Quinn.
Yeah, well, I said they were very difficult terms to kind of separate. I said this at the start of the programme. So
it's all right. Settle down, Puddin'. Tessa's Tune, Lucky, by Harley Moon Kemp. Do you like country music, Richard?
I enjoy it, yes, very much.
you might enjoy this. This is more of a country beat than some of the things that some of the songs that Tessa has provided me as musical fodder of late. I found it to be upbeat. It had kind of a generic country twang to it, and I am awarding it 7 out of 10. It's nice music to drive along to. It's not going to change your life. It's not deep. It's not meaningful. It is what it is, and it's a hearty 7 out of 10.
I think that's a generous 7. I think that's good. I'll take that. I'm sure Harley will too.
Well, that's the last thing that's actually been done. That's the wrap-up of the world. The other thing I can announce for both Robin and Richard, the listener who was with us early in the programme will probably already have caught this, Tessa's been extraordinarily productive because she's actually produced our very own Zuma Midweek Drive calendar. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, I will share it. I'll take a picture and share on socials with you. I'll tag you all. Alex, okay. Because as you know, for many years, Alex has made, you know, Drivette calendars, and we've all kind of seen them and had one. So I thought this year we did talk about it on a few Zooms, and I thought, why not? So yeah, there's quite a lot of our Zoomers in there in the calendar.
So she's leaving.
I was very taken
by
the last year's calendar because I was a pinup boy.
Well, there we go.
And so it goes. It's fair to say, though, that Tessa isn't fully leaving the show. She still will be a midweek driver. Who knows, Richard? She might well join us on another London location report in the near future. We don't know these days. It could happen. We don't know.
Sadly, it could happen quite literally, question mark, when it comes to all events. I mean, it is very sad.
Anyway, Katie gave the song 8.5. The final piece that you've got to do, Robin, before we find out what people's thoughts and hopes are for the upcoming 360-odd days that we've actually got in this next exciting adventure as the Earth cycles around the sun, is you need to select a particular programme which may or may not have been of interest for people to actually go and listen to from the last sequence of Podbean Midweek Drives.
Okay, well, I went all festive and went for the Midweek Drive Festive Special Part 2 from, I believe, December 23rd, which had Emma Tinson, Chloe Rose and Jessica Burtis. You kicked off by discussing Elf Alter Egos, which had been done on an earlier programme. And actually, I'm glad that I wasn't part of that because it wouldn't have ended well. I would have had to, you know, push the boundaries a little bit and gone into questionable carry-on territory, perhaps, which may or may not have been suitable for our audience. We had Emma Tinson talking about dealing with COVID as an entertainment journalist. And I was really interested in how she had dealt with the current situation and how she approaches her job and how the execution of it has, of course, changed. I mean, for example, we're all on Zoom now. Starburst isn't publishing right now and won't be for another 4 months. It's a strange period. I mean, you know, Richard is in the same position. We are reviewers with no cinemas to attend, so it's all the online stuff, which doesn't have quite the same kind of budget or scope as what we would be perhaps reviewing in the cinema, apart from those cinema releases which have gone straight to streaming, which is another argument for another time. I was interested in the interview blacklists and favourites. Now, over the years, I've managed about 80, 85 interviews with various people in films. I don't actually have a blacklist. I've always found people to be quite cooperative. I don't know whether it's because I'm, you know, if they start being awkward, I would be merciless. I really don't know. Favourites, I do have a couple of favourites. And should I name them?
Yes.
I loved talking to Greg Nicotero of KNB Effects. This was just when he was starting his Walking Dead and already had a glittering career in various film makeups. And the other one was rock star and director Rob Zombie. Both of them overwent their time and were very generous and gave me plenty of material. I was jealous that Emma had actually met Dwayne Johnson. He's a person I would love to talk to. For some reason, Alex went off on a tangent and started talking about a Disney version of Birds of Prey. I'm not quite sure why, because Birds of Prey is owned by Warner's, just one of the very small handful of studios that Disney don't actually own. But I was intrigued by your notion of a Harley Quinn Deadpool crossover team up. But, you know, that's just fanboy thinking now, isn't it, really? I missed the Christmas Star because I live in Wales. And in Wales, it rains. It rains a lot. In fact, it's raining right now. I did see Saturn and Jupiter as they were just about to align a couple of days before. And a couple of days after Christmas, I could actually make out Pluto with a pair of binoculars. I know that Pluto is not strictly speaking a planet, but despite what Neil deGrasse Tyson says, it's still a planet to me. Next time that this all happens will be in the 25th century. So nobody around this table will be there to see it.
Speak for yourself, Robin. I'm just getting started.
Buck Rogers will be able to see it though, Alex. And the question for you and me to ask is, will he still be wearing shorts? I don't know why the DC bashing on the show by Emma Tinson. I'm chomping at the bit to see the Justice League I was supposed to see. I do like a director's cut. I mean, one of the best director's cuts I've seen is The Watchmen. Again, another Zack Snyder film that nobody much cared for. I like the graphic novel. I really loved the director's cut because it brought in the parts of the novel that were missing. There were more added sequences, and they actually edited in the animated tales of the Black Freighter, which echo what's going on in the narrative of the story. It satisfied me. And believe it or not, I even liked the Green Lantern director's cut. Don't judge me, okay? Introducing Slade to Jessica Burtis. What an interesting cross-cultural experiment that was. Now, Slade tried to make it big in the US in the late 70s, but they never made it. I don't know why not, but Merry Christmas Everybody, which is the hit that most people these days know them for, was written in response.
I'm sure Richard's actually said frequently that it was either My Friend Stan or Goodbye to Jane, with possibly Ma Mama, We're All Crazy Now, which actually in terms of your work in terms of international who's who, were very much at your heart. Was it not, Richard, in terms of Ma Mama?
Come on,
all
feel
crazy.
The noise for me every time. I love that
song. Yes. I used to play that on the keyboard.
It was written in response. Yes? What? Come on, feel the noise.
On the keyboard. Yes. She was so shocked she had to actually keep her. It's okay.
It was
Girls
written in
grab
response
the boys.
To a 3-day week and power cuts, etc., which we had in the early 70s, which is why, in my opinion, that song Christmas Bubble that you played a few times, Alex, hit pretty much the same spot for me, because these are hard times. Although the kids' choir didn't quite manage the same register as Noddy Holder, but again, you know, not their fault. I broke my Christmas rule and actually listened to these Christmas songs after Christmas. It's the first time I've done that, and I did it for you, Alex Lefchuk. Streaming moments. I've heard a lot about Tiger King. I still haven't watched it. Crown, I have no intention of watching.
Richard, I mean, for goodness sake, no intention of watching The Crown. This is heresy, surely.
In fact, I have to say I was deliberately silent for a good reason. That is an excellent intention, the fact that Robin won't be watching it. And it just so happened that I was asked in the BBC World Service this morning when I was reviewing Harry and Meghan's year what I thought. And I said malign, I said destructive, I said that I thought it portrayed the royals as callous, cold, unfeeling with snobby accents. And I mean, quite frankly, it had terrific potential. We all know Peter Morgan, we know the Queen, we know the Frost Nixon, we know the on stage, the audience, the deal on telly. I mean, the point is, he's got enormous talent and the production values, all that's been gone into. The problem is serious miscasting and endless, ceaseless untruths and the twisting of facts in certain episodes that are deliberately designed almost as a childish, it's almost childish to show the royals in the worst possible light. And at a certain point, you know, I really have rebelled and attacked it time and again. And if anyone is interested in actually seeing the list of untruths and the list of things that are being made up, Hugo Vickers, the noted historian, has put them online in the Times. So if you want it, you can find it. But otherwise, well, by all means, if you've got to see it, enjoy it, but don't believe it. Or at least don't believe most of it. It doesn't mean it's all untrue. But when Peter Morgan says that you must never neglect the truth, well, I mean, he so obviously has, and there are living people involved, and they can't sue, obviously not.
Let's just quickly test that out then. Katie, have you seen or do you intend to watch The Crown?
No, no way. I've watched a few clips on YouTube, and I find it so cringy. Like, I find the acting cringy. I just find it so, like, bad for the royal's reputation.
The word from Britain's second city there, Richard, from Birmingham. Tessa, is it a case of, yeah, I want Camilla to be actually publicly humiliated once again?
I think I recall watching a few episodes, but I never really got into it. However, I loved Victoria, and I've started to now watch Bridgerton, which I'd love to know Richard's opinion on at some point. I don't know whether he's seen it. It's supposed to be the next Downton Abbey.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that it's the next Dallas Regency.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. I've just begun The Queen's Gambit and Bridgerton. It takes me time, I'm afraid. I must recommend, firstly, Black Narcissus, an absolutely fascinating, it's a study of sexual repression and nuns in Nepal, a period movie which has Gemma Arterton giving a brilliant performance. And I've just finished that, and I'm now just started The Queen's Gambit, seen the first episode of Bridgerton, which is extremely colourful with Dame Julie Andrews.
Isn't it? It is. And the picture is amazing as well, I think. The actual, you know, camera work and quality of the... It's quite bright, isn't it, for gloomier times?
Well, I thought. But the thing is, for when Netflix want to make a...
Splash out.
They know how to do it. And I mean, there's absolutely no question that, you know, it's a risque taken it as a sort of bonk buster, the first sex scene, incidentally.
Yes.
Against the tree. I mean, that the funny thing was, it reminded me exactly, going back years, of Rome, which you will remember, where exactly the same thing happened with Mark Antony and some... actress.
Harlot, Richard.
Harlot, if you wish. I don't recall the precise details now, but I have to say that, I mean, Bridgerton splashes it out. It's rather like a glitzy stocking for this time of year. It really will entertain and amuse.
And I'm sure Robin never expected Richard Fitzwilliams to use the term bonkbuster in terms of one of these particular exercises. Personally, I just, before we return to Robin, I point out that I feel like Gemma Arterton has never really surpassed her outstanding work in the two Centrinians movies, which obviously paved the way for her work in Black Narcissus. Just an opinion there.
Tamara Drew, I thought she was very good in that, very, very alluring. And I think The Disappearance of Alice Creed, she was extremely good too. But Black Narcissus is at a different level. I really, really was impressed with that.
Robin, back to yourself then, after that little divertissement.
Okay, well, I actually feel a little bit silly now because I was just going to go and, you know, mention some of the things that I've been watching on streaming, like, you know, Stargirl and Picard, but now I feel like a three-year-old. Whoa. Soul is still my number one film. I'm looking forward... you know, I haven't even watched Mandalorian Season 2 yet because I've heard that in order to get the most out of the second season, you need to watch... what was it?
You Home mentioned Wars Star and Rebels Wars. Richard's left us straight away. You can't start talking about Star Wars. He'll step up and do all sorts
of things. I'm planning a big year of Star Wars with Rebels, Mandalorian 1 and 2, Clone Wars, and I also need to watch Discovery and WandaVision and The Winter Soldier. Oh, good grief. Contributor of the week. I'm scrapping it this week. There is no contributor of the week. I'm actually going with an idea that was inspired by Phil Linnis and Sarah Huntley on the Boxing Day show. And in as we've spoken this morning about the New Year's Honours, I thought that Siren FM really could do with a Robin Pearce New Year's Honours list. And I am awarding three.
Richard, I hope you're ready for this.
I'll tell you who they are.
Very important. The commentary on Al Jazeera, if nothing else.
Yeah, yeah, I expect this on CNN and all over the place. these are in no order, okay? I award an honour to Tessa Leanne Snart for, during the COVID-19 crisis, you actually went out and you created your own podcast. You did your own thing. You've got music on, you've got interviews on, you are promoting music, which is hugely, hugely important, being that the live music industry is at a standstill. But you have found a way to promote it and the people who need that exposure, and you've brought it together in a really interesting professional package. Absolute kudos and respect to you.
Oh, thank you, Robin. That means a lot.
Yes. Secondly,
we can say now for the benefit of the listener, Tessa is looking quite shocked. She wasn't expecting that. Tessa Leanne Snart, graduate of the University of Lincoln, of course, in the field of journalism. Certainly her career has actually taken a big boost with this Robin Pearce award, the newly
inaugurated
RPs of the world.
The RPs, yes.
C the pronunciation.
I can put it on my CV.
I was going to say you've been pierced, but then I think maybe you can't say that on the radio.
not a good one.
That's pretty.
The next one goes to, she's not here today, but Jessica Burtis.
Oh yes.
Jessica shows up for every show, and she is always prepared, meticulous research, and people like Alex, Phil Linnis, Graham Harper, myself, all of a certain age, we throw all sorts of esoteric nonsense at her that she can't possibly have heard of before.
Like Slade.
Slade. We bring up television shows that were probably on the TV before her parents were born.
Or grandparents.
But she takes everything in her stride. She's never caught off guard. She's always there, always alert, always has something relevant, insightful to say, and she's a real professional to work with. So that is the middle honour. The last
and there we are, as we say, to Jessica Burt is sadly unable to actually attend due to time reasons, but she did actually send her very best wishes and indeed pleasant surprise at actually receiving the RP award for 2021.
My last RP award is for keeping this going, bringing us all together, providing, hopefully, entertaining content while remaining socially distanced and safe. Alex Lefchuk needs to take a bow and stop being modest. This has been hard-earned because the rug was pulled from underneath all of our feet back in March. By May, you, sir, had devised a way of bringing it all together in an even better form than it was before. So on behalf of all of us on the Siren shows, all drivettes, past, present, and, oh, what the heck, future, I'd like to thank you for what you've done.
I agree. Totally.
I agree.
And don't you dare edit this out, mister. Wish you a happy birthday for tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday, Alex. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know.
I will be listening to this to make sure it's not edited out. Happy birthday, Alex.
But of course, if it's going out as we expect it to be on Siren Radio on the sort of 6th of... it'd be long past it. Anyway, what the heck? We might keep it in. Thank you, Robin.
January 3rd, mark it for next year. We'll be doing this again.
The official RP awards there. And again, modesty prevents me from actually sort of saying thank you. Thank you to everybody. And indeed, the inventor of Zoom. And indeed, Tim Berners-Lee, without which nothing would work because we wouldn't actually have a World Wide Web after all. So there we are.
So thank Robin too, because you know he's been a really big contributor. He's on a lot of the calls. So Robin, you should also take an award too, I think.
Exactly.
And you're always giving the awards out, so you know.
Yes, the official first ever Tessa Snart Awards there, the Snart Smart Awards, as we're referring to them now, the SSs, goes to Robin
Pearce. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. The Richard Fitzwilliams Award coming through.
Other than you've been here. I mean,
Richard, anybody you'd like to pass any awards to as far as the program's been proceeding so far, feel free to do so. Prizes for everyone.
No, not prizes for everyone. Many are called, but few are chosen. And I believe that I've said this before, when the honours were cruelly maligned by everyone who spoke other than me earlier today, the point was that a lot of people do indeed, and this just gives you an impression of, you know, the way people have been welcoming these awards. People like awards. You call honours honours. If you call them awards, they're apparently, you can give them out. I mean, the point really is, if somebody's done something, and I agree that you have, Alex, if someone's done something worthy, I do think all good, or that's helped others, or done something brilliant in a particular field, I think they should receive recognition. Now, whether that comes in the form of an honour or an award or however you wish. I mean, if those who were attacking the honours this morning might bear in mind the proliferation of awards, say, and anything to do with film. I mean, the whole series of them. It's not just the ones.
Too much, Richard. The award season, normally you're in full flow now, and we start off with about almost, it would seem, 300 award ceremonies. Unbelievable.
No, but I mean, the awards, of course, this year, as we know, with the Oscars being put back by a couple of months. I mean, what I'm looking forward to with The Father and Judas and the Black Messiah and Nomadland and Pieces of a Woman, all of these will, I think we'll be talking about them in the coming weeks, but I mean, we'll see them feature undoubtedly at the awards season. But when it comes to awards season, people, it's not only valuable from a promotional point of view, also from the point of view of fashion and so forth, of course, too. It's absolutely essential when it comes to individuals and how they feel when they get it. Do they decline it? You bet not. George C. Scott, Marlon Brando, very few.
Well, you know, who would have thought that the Robin Pearce Awards have actually prevented me from actually featuring much more music from the original Rex Harrison, Dr. Doolittle, which I was all set to actually do. You know, so many sort of classics that come across from that point of view, which we will, I'm sure, take that in the fullness of time. I was going to actually ask Tessa too, as it's her last show as Tessa's Tune of the Week, not her last year as Midweek Drivette, to effectively ask these last two questions traditionally to the team. Off you go, Tessa.
Have you all enjoyed your Zoomer with us today?
Well, I have most certainly.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I have.
Brilliant. And although it's my last one, will all of you be returning to the show soon?
See you. Wouldn't want to be you, is what she's actually saying on that particular line of things.
I'm on for now as a non-regular going forward.
There you go.
You all return again?
Yep.
Good.
Cheers.
Yeah.
And Tessa Snart receives the Fu Manchu Award for the I Will Return epic Sax Roma piece. Well worth accessing from that point of view, Tessa. Just look it out. I'm sure you can actually do a resonance rewind on the whole thing. Richard Fitzwilliams, Robin Pearce, Katie Grimmison, Tessa Snart, huge thanks. Keep on keeping on, and happy 2021.
Cheers.
Thank you. Happy birthday.
Good luck, Tess.
Cheers, Katie. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye.
I mean, I've seen the world, I've been around, I can tell you stories that would quite astound you. I'm not a fool, I went to school, I've been from Liverpool to Istanbul, I'm no fool, and anyone will tell you that I'm sharper than a knife. But I've never seen anything like it in my life.
To push me, pull you,
is it? Well, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, I know the game. I I've seen them all. I could tell you stories that would quite enthral you. I know me job, pleasing the mob. I give them what they want for just two bob, just two bob. Well, that's my job, but this is so fantastic. I can't wait to tell the wife. Gertie, you've never seen anything like it in your life. You've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it. You've never seen anything like it in your life. I thought I'd seen every wonder in the world. I've seen the Colosseum in Rome and the Acropolis. I've made the blunder in the world, 'cause I've never seen anything quite like this. I'm down to earth. I tell you straight, I can tell you stories that would fascinate you. I know the trade, I know the tricks. Here, I once bought an elephant for £2.6. £2.6, taught it tricks. But for you push me, pull you, I'd pay £3. £4. £5, 'cause I've never seen anything like it that's alive. Oh, I've never seen anything like it. Never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it in all